Coming down the aisle, the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show! Welcome back to another episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I am Blaze.
Now, this is part two of our WrestleMania 2 rewatch. Now, we've already seen the NFL WWF Battle Royal where Andre the Giant was the last man standing. We've seen Mr. T and Roddy Piper. We've seen Jake the Snake Roberts. We've seen
Macho Man Randy Savage
taking on the Animal, George the Animal Steel. So far, this has been a really good WrestleMania. A lot better than WrestleMania 1. You can tell the production value is up, and it just feels bigger, better, and it's even in three different cities, which is the first, last, and only time they've done this. So far, this has been one really good WrestleMania. What do you think?
Yes, definitely better than WrestleMania 1. It still is not as huge as we're used to it. I mean, we're still not getting a lot of entrances. Every once in a while, one of the wrestlers gets a cool special entrance. But for the most part, no entrances for most of the wrestlers. No big fireworks. I mean, we're still not in the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah, you can definitely tell there's a growth, but it just hasn't quite got to what we know and love today. Well, until this past WrestleMania, obviously, which just felt different than anything
else.
Well,
that's because of the pandemic that's going on.
Obviously, but that we'll get to that. So, speaking of obviously, after we recorded our last show, Blaze, you pointed something out to me. What was that?
Well, Rage, you tend to say the phrase obviously a lot.
Okay, so I thought about this since you brought this up, and I obviously like to say it, otherwise I wouldn't say it. And instead of me feeling like I have a problem and what I say, I think I'm going to flip this around on you. I think we are going to start our first Rage and Blaze Show drinking game. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds great. I always like drinking.
So anytime you hear me say, obviously, take a drink.
Take a shot.
Who knows? Maybe this will grow. Who knows? This might become a thing.
We may create a bunch of alcoholics.
Or we might kill a lot of people with alcohol poisoning. We don't know how this is going to go.
Here at the Rage and Blaze Show, we promote safe driving, not drinking and driving, so drink responsibly.
So listen to this on your couch and not at the bar.
Yes, please.
Okay, so we're going to go back to WrestleMania 2. Last time we left off at the WWF versus NFL Battle Royal, where Andre the Giant was the last man standing. So after that match, we start this podcast off with having a post-interview with Roddy Piper with Vince McMahon. So he gives this interview, talks about how he's happy that he don't have to follow along with stipulations of the match, because he did not get knocked out by Mr. T. Instead, he got disqualified, but since he didn't get knocked out, he feels that he shouldn't have to follow along with the stipulations that they made in this match.
Yeah, it was a pretty good interview. I love watching Roddy Piper. Once again, he gets a little racy, but he's playing the ultimate heel. He is. He's playing the ultimate heel. I love the way he delivers his promos. I love the way he talks. He has this way of, he'll just be talking through an interview and it's like, no one can touch me! He has this like high-pitched register that's really fun. I love the way he delivers his promos.
Yeah, and in the first WrestleMania, you notice that really Hogan's the only one that gets on the mic and sounds you could just tell like he's electric, he's a star. And in this WrestleMania, you finally get other people that get to talk, and sure enough, we get Rowdy Piper, which is one of the best. And so it's kind of funny because he was in WrestleMania 1, but he never got on the mic. We finally get to hear him on the mic in this WrestleMania, and he sounds great. He's an absolute legend.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites on the mic, to be honest with you.
And don't forget, you can follow along with us on any of these WrestleManias. They are all on WWE Network. Download the app on your phone, Xbox, PlayStation, doesn't matter. I'm sure you can find the app. So, moving on, they went to Chicago next, and they did a post-interview with Jimbo Covert, who was a member of the Battle Royal we just watched. And he feels he was screwed over. He feels that he was helping somebody else. I think it was Refrigerator Perry he was helping. And he said, "Then I got eliminated for helping, you know." And then Mean Gene goes on to interview the Iron Sheik and ask him his opinions about the Battle Royal. And then after that, we move on to the next match. So the next match is for the WWF Tag Team Champions of the World. And announced in the ring, which I kind of felt was a little disrespectful because these are the champions after all. But you have the Dream Team, Brutus Beefcake, still not the barber, and Greg the Hammer Valentine. And they are brought out with Johnny Valiant. Now, I found it a little disrespectful. These are the tag team champions, and they don't get an intro. But, I mean, you would think being the champions, you would kind of come out second. You'd be more of a bigger deal, have some entrance music, but that's not what we got here.
And it's not like these aren't stars. I mean, this is Brutus Beefcake and Greg the Hammer Valentine. Both are in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Obviously, they both are, and they're absolute legends. So then we get music. We get, like, the British music going. And you get the tag team of the British Bulldogs. And that consists of Davey Boy Smith and Dynamite Kid. They are accompanied by the Captain Lou Albano and Ozzy Osbourne.
Looking very, very 80s and not scary at all.
It looks healthy, though.
Sure.
I mean, blonde hair, I mean, just looks healthy. I mean, growing up, I love Black Sabbath, love Ozzy Osbourne. I saw him at Ozfest several times.
I've seen him at Ozfest as well.
And, you know, he's obviously older and obviously...
Drink.
He probably did.
He did. Drugs and drinking, yes. Yeah. There's a lot of that going on.
He looked a little rough. I mean, he was still performed really well, but he always looked rough when I saw him. But, you know, Father Time and all that got to him and drugs and alcohol. Yes. So, but anyhow, he looks really good, really healthy here.
He was slightly more coherent at the end of the match when they had an interview with
him. Yeah, they did. They interviewed him, but we're getting ahead of ourselves now because we really want to talk about this match because we gave our opinions on our favorite match so far at the end of part one of this podcast, and I'm already saying it here, and I can change my mind before the end of this podcast, but this was an exciting match. This was a wrestling clinic by legends. Three out of the four people in the ring are inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
And one of them I've never heard of.
Well,
other than I've heard of the British or the, right. The British Bulldogs, I've just never.
Yeah,
don't remember him very much.
You knew Davey Boy Smith was a part of the British Bulldog tag team. You just couldn't remember the other.
Other
name, which would be Dynamite Kid.
I remember Davey Boy Smith more in the Hart Foundation. I knew he was part of a tag team called the British Bulldogs, but I remember his time in the Hart Foundation.
So you remember him more as Bret Hart's brother-in-law, mm-hmm. as opposed to his career before any of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was more into the 90s.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely an amazing, phenomenal wrestler. just as a tag team, that was a little early for us.
Yeah, I mean, we watched wrestling when we were little kids with our stepbrother Tim, and we watched, you know, Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, you know,
Sergeant Slaughter,
some of that,
Jake the Snake.
But there was a lot of that we probably watched, and I mean, that was the 80s, and I was less than 10 years old.
Yeah, we were young. We remember the big names in history. And obviously, British Bulldog is a big name in history, but he was a tag team.
Well, he went on to
early.
Have a bigger career, or, you know, his career continued when we were watching it more regularly in the 90s, where I don't know what happened to the Dynamite Kid. Is that his name?
Yeah, it says he, I looked him up. It looks like he retired in like 96. So I'm guessing, you know, his career
stuff.
I'm guessing after the tag team thing was over, his career just didn't take off like Davey Boy Smith did.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess marrying into the legendary Hart family,
yeah,
sure helped his career very
probably
much. Now I'm not taking anything away from him. He is a phenomenal wrestler.
That was a great match by all involved.
But I'm just saying, having friends like that, I'm sure helped his career.
Yep, definitely agree. So let's talk about this match.
Okay, so this match was just amazing. It was a wrestling clinic. We absolutely loved this match, and it's already skyrocketed to the top of my list of favorite matches of WrestleMania 2. These guys, it was a back and forth. They knew what they were doing.
Really good moves. I really enjoyed the vertical suplex that was that Davey Boy?
I think it was Davey Boy Smith did it on, I believe it was Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah,
he lifted up and did a vertical suplex that just looked. And he held him up there for a couple seconds before he dropped him.
And there was also that Gorilla Press body slam that was really good.
Very good. There was one right off the top rope.
Just very clean, well-done wrestling.
Yes, this is, to me, this is the type of wrestling that I absolutely love. This is just when guys can go back and forth and just put on a clinic like this. This is what I love about wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, I believe in the last episode I said my favorite match was the Macho Man match, and I feel like that's more because I absolutely love Macho Man. And it was a fun heel match because Macho Man kept running out of the ring and everything, where this one is a better match.
Oh, by far.
Really good wrestling in this one.
Yeah, and so the match ends with, I believe it was Davey Boy Smith throws
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Was it Greg the Hammer Valentine?
Yeah, because
throws him into the Dynamite Kid's head instead of the turnbuckle in the corner, and they have a headbutt, and that's how the match ends. Davey Boy Smith pins him, 1, 2, 3, and we have new WWF Tag Team Champions.
Now, I have things to say about this, Rage.
What's your problem?
So, you know, Greg the Hammer Valentine, he was doing a pin, and he noticed that Davey Boy Smith was not doing very well. So he stopped that pin at the two count for him. He was being good, and then Davey Boy just throws him into another wrestler.
Oh, come on, Blaze.
He was trying to help him out.
It's a tag team match.
He was trying to help him out, and he just takes advantage and wins the match. And then poor Brutus, he's trying to stop this unfair pin, and he gets caught up in the ropes and he trips. I mean, it was just terrible ending, I must say.
Oh, come on.
Such
now.
A good wrestling match. Terrible ending.
I think the correct team won. We have new champions. Congratulations to them. They have a post-interview after the match, and they interview Davey Boy. They interview Dynamite. They also interview Captain Lou Albano. We get to hear him on the mic, and then we get to hear Ozzy Osbourne speak, which sounds very Ozzy Osbourne-ish. Anybody who's heard Ozzy talk.
Except for you could understand him slightly better than
Yeah, you could. Now. Actually, yeah, you it didn't sound as rubbish as it does now. He's kind of mumbled, you know, whatever, but you could definitely understand his words, but you could still tell he talks like he sings, and he sings like he talks. That's Ozzy Osbourne.
Fair.
Something I'd like to point out that I noticed is that they had billed the WWF versus NFL Battle Royal as the main event of Chicago, but yet what we get as the real main event is the WWF Tag Team Championship match. Now, I'm okay with that being the main event, but why did they bill it in such a way and then still have another match in Chicago? I found that kind of odd.
Yeah, it was odd. My only theory is that you got Andre the Giant in it, you got the Hart Foundation in it, you also got the NFL stars in it, you know, and if I'm not mistaken, you had some Chicago Bears in there, and wasn't it in 1985 that the Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl and did the Super Bowl shuffle?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. I'm not a Bears fan, so I can't really speak on that. But I'm just kind of confused because they mentioned that there was going to be a main event in each city. And so you had Roddy Piper, Mr. T, the main event. Then you have the NFL WWF Battle Royals, the main event. And then, of course, Hogan and Andre the Giant is the main event and in L.A. But it's just kind of odd to me that you would bill this as the main event, and all you had to do was make sure it was the last match in Chicago. But instead, they move on to the Tag Team Championship match, and that is actually the last match in Chicago before they move on to L.A. So it just, to me, it was just kind of odd. Just the placing of the match, not really. I understand why the Battle Royal is the main event. It's just weird that they didn't, you know, have them wrestle in that order.
Yeah, it might have been as simple as it was just easier to get everybody to show up. Or like, it might have been just a scheduling thing because of the NFL players or something.
Maybe so. All right, so we're going to move on. I believe
I did just check. The Chicago Bears did win the Super Bowl. It was technically 1986, but as you know, the Super Bowl is always at the beginning of the year.
Well, this was April 7th, 1986. So this would have been after that Super Bowl.
It would have been literally right after the Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl.
Fair enough.
Super Bowl shuffle.
Okay, so now let's move on. We are going to be moving on to the L.A. portion of WrestleMania 2.
L.A.
Okay, so we are on to the L.A. portion of the show where we get Jesse the Body Ventura. He introduces himself. He introduces Lord Alfred Hayes and the lovely Elvira. This is going to be our commentators for the L.A. portion of WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, it was nice seeing Elvira. I always liked Elvira.
Yeah, so giddy up. Boom, bop, boom, bop, bow, bow. So here we go.
Elvira.
So here we go with the next match. We have Hercules Hernandez versus Ricky, the Dragon Steamboat. Now, this is just a regular singles match. No titles are on the line. But I'll tell you what, this was a lot better match than the Dragon had in WrestleMania 1, by far.
Well, he had a much better opponent this time.
Yeah, so this match starts off with Hercules using his brute strength to take over, but that doesn't last long because Ricky starts using his speed to start getting the upper hand.
Yeah, Hercules definitely lived up to his name. He did a lot of good power moves. It was a pretty good display. I've never heard of Hercules Hernandez.
Oh, you don't remember Hercules Hernandez?
No, have you?
I actually don't remember the Hernandez part of his name, but I do remember the wrestler Hercules.
Oh, are you sure it's the same guy?
You know what? I assumed it is. I mean, how many WWF wrestlers are going to be called Hercules?
Hercules is popular in myth and fiction, so it's very possible there's another guy who didn't have...
Well, I'll have to look it up, but I believe it's the Hercules that I remember as a kid, but...
Also, I believe we have a correction.
Oh, yes, we do have a correction. So when I was talking about the New York, Chicago, and L.A. portions of the show, I accidentally said that the L.A. portion of the show, the main event, was Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. It is actually Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy in a steel cage match for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship.
That's what we have to look forward to next pay-per-view we're watching.
Yes, our next podcast will be about WrestleMania 3, where you had the iconic Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant match.
Correct.
So, and we have a little bit of a special guest coming on for the very first time on our podcast. We will be welcoming Warren to the show.
Yeah, a giant amongst our family.
Yeah, so Warren is our cousin. He is 6'8". So we thought it would be befitting to ask him to join us on the iconic WrestleMania 3 where Andre faces Hulk Hogan, which I think Hogan is actually 6'8".
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to him about being that big and everything, and we'll also talk about wrestling action figures on that show with
him.
Yeah,
he has a popular YouTube channel, Ohio Nerd, where he goes to toy shows and checks out different collectible toys.
Yeah, so anybody that's going to know anything about wrestling action figures, this is the guy to talk to. He definitely knows his figures of, and he knows about all sorts of figures, not just wrestling figures, but we will definitely talk to him about that, and that'll be on our next podcast.
All right.
So moving on, we had this match was very back and forth. It was a great match. There was one little botch in the match, though, where Hercules threw Ricky up against the ropes. He's supposed to come back, and they're supposed to do, like, a spinning power slam. And, ooh.
We're not watching this now?
I'm sorry.
What is going on, Rage?
Somehow the TV got unpaused. So, anyhow.
We have Ghost.
So, he's supposed to do a running spinning power slam. Hercules is supposed to pick him up and flip him and power slam him down. And for whatever reasoning, I don't know if the timing was off, but as Ricky started coming towards him, they didn't really connect. It kind of looked awkward. Ricky kind of stops right in front of him and then just, you know, oddly lets him pick him up and slam him anyhow, but it didn't flow the way it was supposed to, you know, work. So that, I don't know if there was just a timing issue with the wrestlers or what happened there, but we did notice that during the match that there was just a little bit of a botch. But the rest of the match seemed to flow pretty good. It was a really good match with the exception of that one little stain on the match, and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, he goes up to the top rope, does his signature crossbody, you know, flying crossbody onto Hercules, and he gets the 1-2-3.
Yes, it was a very good match. Not better than that tag team match we just watched.
No, still, that tag team match is the definitely the best so far.
Still not getting to see Ricky at his best, but I know that in the next one, WrestleMania 3, there is a legendary Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus Macho Man Randy Savage match.
Looking forward to that.
That I have been told, and I've never got to watch it, so I'm super excited about this, that it's considered one of the greatest matches of all time. So I am really looking forward to that.
Well, we'll be the judge of that when we watch it. I know I've seen it, but it's been several years since I've sat and watched it. But looking forward to that match. But we're moving kind of ahead of ourselves. So let's stick to WrestleMania 2. We're going to move on to the next match. Okay, so this next match is against two guys that I don't really remember either one of them.
And I think that's probably for the best.
Okay, so first we've got the adorable Adrian Adonis with, of course, complete legend, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, who managed multiple wrestlers at this time. I mean, he was always, you know, heck, I think of WrestleMania 1, we saw him twice come out.
Yeah, it's not like nowadays when you're a manager, you manage one person or one group, and you stick to that group.
And you're kind of a part of that group, like I think Lita with the Hardy Boys, Team Extreme. You know, she wasn't going around valeting for other tag teams.
Paul Bearer with Undertaker.
Right, he was either with Undertaker or he was with Kane. But he didn't manage a bunch of different ones all at once.
Yeah.
So anyhow, and then his opponent is Uncle Elmer.
Uh huh.
Who's, you know, he's in a big hillbilly getup.
Yeah, he looked like something from, I work at a haunted house, or haunted trail to be exact, and he looked, both of these guys looked like something from my trail. In fact, I'm the hillbilly guy that was that wrestler, and then a friend of mine comes out and wears a dress, has better makeup than Adrian Adonis, though, and this guy, Adrian Adonis, I mean, he came out with a dress, I mean, this was not a good moment for WWE in my book.
Well, you know, keep in mind, this is 1986, so, you know, a lot of stereotypes in 1986.
Well, we're doing a podcast in 2020, and it was a little rough to watch. I mean, it was not a terrible match. Adrian Adonis really oversells every move, and in that aspect, it was entertaining. But it really felt like WWE was going for the hillbilly beating the crap out of the cross-dressing male, and it just was almost uncomfortable to watch.
You know, but I'd also like to point out this was definitely meant to be a comedy moment of
the show. Oh, I know what they were going for.
This match was, I mean, I'm sure they all take it seriously, but this match felt like it was kind of a break from some serious matches, and they wanted to give the crowd something more kind of funny, and that's the hillbilly chasing the guy in makeup and a dress. And so he even rips the dress off halfway through the match.
Yeah, and I'm just pointing out that watching it in retrospect in 2020, this would not fly today.
No, probably not. So, but anyhow, so this match is just, like I said, it is what it is. It wasn't fantastic wrestling. Matter of fact, it was against two heavyweight guys that are both a little heavy set, and Elvira chose to point that out during the match. She even made a comment about, well, that's a lot of cellulite in that ring at one time. So she even kind of poked fun at how heavy set both of these guys are.
I tell you what, that Adonis, though, as big as he was, I mean, he sells those moves, and it was impressive on that aspect of the match. And I was very surprised they let Adonis be the winner of this match.
Oh, yeah, and then, there you go. That's another good point. They did let him win. They didn't just let him get beat down. But
he's also the heel.
The but, yeah, he won this match. I thought Uncle Elmer kind of looked slow, where Adonis, even for his size, was kind of moving around and kind of energetic.
Uncle Elmer looked like the guy from Punch-Out.
Yeah.
He moved like him.
That's pretty good. Yeah. The
King Hippo.
King Hippo? No, I'm thinking, okay, so Super Punch
Out.
Super Nintendo, there's a character I'd have to Google and remember his name. Bear Hugger.
Bear Hugger.
Bear Hugger. Yes. That's his name. I didn't even have to Google it.
He looked exactly like Bear Hugger.
Oh, he did. It was like Bear Hugger was created based off of Uncle Elmer. I knew I'd seen this guy before.
Right.
I was little Mac when I saw him. You know? I think he's actually like the first guy you face, or maybe
first guys. I think he was the first guy you faced. Well,
and well, he was in that first section of that belt. But I mean, we're kind of getting out of it. You know, we're gamers. It is what it is. So I mean, we're just kind of, you know, pointing things out that we noticed. But that bear hugger from Super Nintendo, that's exactly what he looked like. I didn't catch that until we're talking about it.
It just popped in my head.
Oh, that's, I mean, you know, King Hippo, don't get me wrong, that's more, I mean, who would you think the WWF equivalent of King Hippo would be?
I don't know if there is one.
No, don't know if there is
but
one.
But Bear Hugger is exactly what
King Kong Bundy can't be too far off.
Oh, you know, close.
You put it, I mean, say they had the King of the Ring back then, and they put a crown on his head. I mean, there you go. That's kind of King Hippo.
Well, no, they stole that as soon as King Hippo goes down with one punch from Hulk Hogan and can't get up.
Yeah, we'll see, you know. Stars flying over his head. It'd be fun to watch. Okay, so we're going to move on. It looks like they're about to interview Hulk Hogan right now and probably talk to him about his King Kong Bunny match coming up.
Yep.
Okay, so the next match is a tag team match, non-title. It's the Funk Brothers, Hoss Funk and Terry Funk, and their manager, Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Another one.
Yeah. So Jimmy Hart does double duty, two matches in a row here.
Yes.
What does he do as a manager that does double duty? Does he walk back out and then walk back in with the new team, or does he just stay at ringside and just wait for the new team to come up? How does that work?
Well, I don't know.
Well, they didn't really have the camera on them, so I was just kind of wondering how that worked out. Obviously, Terry Funk, if wrestling fans will remember, more really in ECW, and then for, you know,
I remember him a lot with Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Or in Cactus Jack.
Chainsaw Charlie, back in the, you know, when Mick Foley.
The Attitude Era.
Yeah, so he was around for a little bit there in the Attitude Era, so that's kind of where I learned who Terry Funk was, and then I went back and watched some ECW matches, and he's a crazy man. And, you know, and we'll talk more.
Yeah, this was pretty tame for Terry Funk.
Well, this is pretty tame, but there is a little hints of what to come, because there was some weapons used. There was a table, but we'll get into talk about the match. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but you see a little bit of shade of hardcore Terry Funk coming up in this match.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Jimmy Hart was just throwing the megaphone. Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, let's introduce the other team before we're really going into the match here. So we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. So their opponent is Junkyard Dog and Tito Santana. Now, yep. Junkyard Dog was in my favorite match of WrestleMania 1.
Yes. This was another good match.
And then Tito Santana, I think, was in your least probably both.
Because I believe Tito Santana faced the Executioner.
Yeah, wasn't that your
horrible.
Least favorite match of WrestleMania 1?
Yes, it was.
So we've got your least favorite match and my favorite match of WrestleMania 1 back in the ring against the Funk Brothers.
Tagged together.
And we'd also like to mention that all four, and Jimmy Hart and the manager, everyone involved in this match is in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
All of them are WWE legends.
All of them. So here we go. So the match is really, it's a nice back and forth tag match. This was a very fun match to watch. Jimmy Hart gets involved. He kicks.
He kept checking to see if they were all right.
You don't check to see if somebody's all right with your foot.
Yeah, he was like, "Hey, are you okay?
Come on,
just
give
him a little bit of check."
So Jimmy Hart, he gets involved in this match out in the ringside area, and at one point this match gets kind of out of hand where everybody's just kind of brawling, and Terry Funk gets whipped into, or he might have got suplexed into a table. Now, it doesn't break like we traditionally see tables getting used in later wrestling programs, but I mean, you saw his backside and leg really hit the edge of that table, and I believe he sustained an injury in this match over it, because he kind of wobbled around a lot after that happened.
They should have been disqualified right there. That was just unappreciative. I didn't appreciate that at all.
Blaze, you want to talk about disqualification? The way this match ended was complete and utter bullshit, and you know that because of the crowd reaction at the end of the match.
What are you talking about?
So, let me let the listeners know that Jimmy Hart tosses his megaphone into the ring. Terry Funk hits Junkyard Dog over the head, and he's lights out. 1, 2, 3, and then the crowd starts chanting, bullshit, bullshit.
No, I feel like you read the room completely wrong.
I heard, Blaze.
Jimmy Hart was trying to tell something to the Junkyard Dog. And so he
what you believe?
Yeah, he throws the megaphone to Terry Funk so he could help him, tell him, and then he just kind of slipped a little bit and accidentally hit him.
Missed his mouth and put him over the forehead,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a complete accident. I don't know what your problem was.
Come on.
But that was a clean win by Terry Funk and the Funk Brothers.
Absolutely not. They stole a win there at WrestleMania. So I'd also like to point out in this match, I was a little kind of disappointed. Not by the match. The match was really good. Great wrestling. A lot of back and forth. Everybody got involved. Tito Santana definitely had a lot better match in this WrestleMania than he did against the Executioner in WrestleMania 1. But the one thing I was just a tad bit disappointed about was, number one, we didn't get to hear Junkyard Dog talk. That was entertaining to hear him talk in the first WrestleMania. And then secondly, we didn't see him get on all fours and do his headbutts.
No headbutts.
So a little couple things that I really like about Junkyard Dog was missing in this match. But, I mean, and I don't think he barked at anybody either.
No, I feel like this wasn't as good as the first WrestleMania match he was in.
No, not for him, but it was still a good match.
It was a good match.
He had a better WrestleMania 1 match, but this was a fun match.
It was a fun match.
So, and it was great seeing younger Terry Funk, because I'll be honest, I honestly forgot Terry Funk was in the WWF before his Chainsaw Charlie and Mick Foley days. I knew Terry Funk as an ECW wrestler that had jump shipped and came to WWF, and I don't remember him being...
He just came back.
Yeah, so I didn't remember him being a WWF wrestler back then. So that was kind of nice surprise for me watching this back and remembering, oh wow, Terry Funk was around WrestleMania 2. This is really cool, you know? So I really enjoyed seeing him. Absolutely, like I said, and he didn't do some of his signature stuff, but I still enjoyed seeing Junkyard Dog. He was always one of, you know, my favorites growing up. And this was a very fun match.
It was. It was a really good match.
Okay, so it looks like they are bringing out the cage. So they're bringing it out in pieces.
So we're getting the first ever cage match in WrestleMania history in WrestleMania 2.
And keep in mind, this is before the days of the steel cage, the Hell in the Cell, the Elimination Chamber. This is the old school blue cage that you have to climb out to win this match. And I would believe. Now, we haven't watched the match yet, but that traditionally is a cage match. You have to climb out and escape.
Me personally, I get disappointed with the idea of being able to win a cage match with a pin. For me, it's always about, you gotta climb that cage. You gotta get to the top. You gotta get out. That's how you win a cage match. There's no stupid door that you can get out. It's climbing. You climb that cage and you escape.
I completely agree. I never cared for the cage matches where they would open the door. I always disagreed with that, but I agree with you. Traditionally, you climb up the top and get out. You're escaping the cage.
Yes.
I always felt that made that match a little bit more special. I know some of the matches didn't quite go that way, but I completely agree with you. Those are my favorite cage matches when they have to climb. And I'll tell you what, I really like it when they decide, you know what? I could go down, but I think I'm going to jump back into the ring, but I don't know if we'll get any of that kind of high-flying
extreme action. Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I don't expect anybody to jump off the top of that cage.
No, that might come later on in wrestling, but I really do enjoy it when people put your Jeff Hardys jump off the top.
I think
do these death-defying jumps off the top of the steel cage. I always enjoy those.
I think this is going to be more likely having one of these men being rammed through the cage and breaking the cage.
Definitely.
That's more likely in this match.
Okay, so let's move on. Okay, so now they're going to cut to, they say it's Hulk Hogan's personal gym, and they're going to have Mean Gene Okerlund talking while you see Hulk Hogan in the back with Hillbilly Jim, and it appeared to be his doctor while he's working out in his personal gym.
That's what
they said, yeah. So then they, at this point, Mean Gene Okerlund is explaining how this match came to be and the feud. He's really trying to build this up like this is personal. And then they cut back to a clip of, I'm guessing, a Saturday night main event.
They said it was a Saturday night main event.
Yeah, a Saturday night main event program where Don Morocco was wrestling Hulk Hogan, and King Kong Bundy and Bobby Heenan comes out, and they orchestrate just a massive beatdown on Hogan. King Kong gets a few avalanches on him, and they say that Hogan got injured in this incident.
Yes.
So,
yeah, they've been playing that up all pay-per-view that Hogan has got bruised ribs.
Yeah, every time they show Hogan, he's got tape over his ribs, and they're selling this injury that he is not 100%.
Correct.
So then, after they show the clip, they go back to Hogan's gym. Mean Gene Okerlund interviews Hulk Hogan. He even asks the doctor, Mean Gene does, asks the doctor, well, what do you think? And the doctor's like, I advise him not to wrestle. So they're really selling us that Hogan's not 100% and he shouldn't be in the steel cage with King Kong Bundy tonight.
Well, King Kong is a big guy.
Very big guy. So anyhow, so then they go back to ringside. They finally got the cage put up, which, as they showed before the gym footage and the recap footage, they showed guys carrying the cage out one by one for each side. So they had this in four pieces, carrying it out, and they're putting it together. And then you get King Kong Bundy coming out with Bobby the Brain Heenan with no music. Just a resounding amount of boos facing him, and he's just walking out like just a monster. No music, though.
Yeah.
So main then, do what?
Oh, I was saying main event, and your challenger has nothing.
Nothing. So he's the challenger. So then here comes the iconic Real American music, and here comes Hulk Hogan. For some reason, he's got the bandana on his head, and the excess of the bandana he has in his mouth. I don't understand what that was about, but I believe
those are tasty treats.
I guess he just had to nibble on the end of the bandana for some reason. So he comes out to the ring with his iconic music, and he's got the World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship around his waist. The announcer says this is for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Correct.
So they get them both locked in the cage. Hogan, instead of going through the door of the cage, he decides to climb up from the outside into the inside of the cage, and then this match is underway. Now, I'll tell you what, this was awesome. It was two heavyweights going blow for blow for a while there, and it was just, you could just feel how massive of a match this was. It was really fun to watch. Hogan even threw King Kong Bundy into the cage, and King Kong's bleeding from the forehead, so the rest of the match, his, you know, around his eyes and everything is all red, just with blood, and this just felt personal. Hogan, as you pointed out, even did some things that most faces probably would not do.
Yeah, he felt a little heelish here. First off, he takes King Kong Bundy's singlet, which I've never seen this before, I don't think. But he took his singlet and started choking him with his own singlet, with his arm part of his singlet. He was climbing out of the cage, and instead of climbing out, he decides to take his foot and choke King Kong Bundy on the rope instead of escaping and then coming down to do more damage. He did quite a bit of choking and
back scratching.
Yeah.
Did the whole raking and on the back.
Yeah.
But there was a time where King Kong looked like he had this match handled for a little while. But then, of course, anybody who's ever watched a Hulk Hogan match, at one point, I think he just gets punched by King Kong Bundy, and Hogan starts
No, it wasn't a punch.
What was it?
Oh, he did the avalanche. He ran into the corner of the ring and gave him the avalanche, where he jumps up and lands on him against the ring post. And then Hogan gave the shaking of the head, and is like, oh, brother.
Yeah, he hawks up.
The hawk up, yeah.
He definitely hawks up, does the whole shaking, and points at King Kong Bundy, and it's on. You know, you've pissed off Hogan and all the millions of Hawkamaniacs out there.
Yeah, and I wanted to point out just something I noticed. And, you know, I've watched wrestling for a long time, so I kind of see these things. You mentioned a botch earlier, and this isn't a botch, but King Kong Bundy is bleeding profusely out of his forehead, and Hogan is doing punches to his forehead. Did you happen to notice Hogan's hands were super clean after that?
No, actually, I noticed some blood on his knuckles.
Oh, I didn't notice any blood.
He must have wiped it off, because immediately afterwards, he did have blood on his knuckles. He must have wiped it off on his trunks or something.
Oh, well, I thought I didn't see any blood, so...
No, he definitely had blood on him.
I didn't see it.
Well, we'll have to go back and show it to you. So, anyhow, so this match, he hawks up, knocks King Kong Bundy down, and gives the atomic leg drop. Then he starts climbing the cage, and King Kong gets up, tries to stop him, and then Hawk kicks him in the face, knocks him down again, climbs over top, escapes the cage. He retains the World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, then he did something that I did not like at all. Bobby the Brain Heenan was just there trying to be a good guy, seeing how he's doing it, and Hulk just attacks him.
Now, after everything he was put through, Bobby the Brain Heenan orchestrated that fight, or that beatdown that caused Hogan to have the hurt ribs. So it was time for Bobby the Brain Heenan to get his comeuppance.
No. Bobby the Brain Heenan is a wrestler. He is not a wrestler. He is a manager, and Hulk Hogan should respect that. Respect the fact that Bobby the Brain, he doesn't know how to wrestle.
Well, then Bobby the Brain Heenan should stay out of Hogan's business if he doesn't want to get, you know, beat down by Hogan. So Hogan starts chasing him around the steel cage, and Bobby the Brain Heenan, like the coward he is, runs into the cage and tries to hold the door shut, trying not to let Hogan in, because he knows Hogan's coming. But what does Hogan do? He's got the force. He rips that open, even though Heenan's holding on to it. He gets in there, and he takes care of business, and he makes sure he knows he didn't appreciate that beat down 5 weeks ago.
Well, you know, I mean, he, once again, not a wrestler. What would you do if you had those 64-inch pythons chasing you around the ring? That's not cowardly. That's smart. That's trying to stay alive.
You know what I would do? I wouldn't be messing with the guy with the 64-inch pythons to begin with. I'd keep my nose out of his business, and I wouldn't be having guys beat him down in the ring.
I just think that Hogan should show a little bit more class.
Okay, well, agree to disagree. So here we go. This is the end of WrestleMania 2. It felt bigger, better, and more epic than WrestleMania 1. So here, let's go ahead, and before we move on to our WrestleMania rankings, why don't we move on to Blaze, what was your favorite match in WrestleMania 2?
There was a decent amount of good matches in this one. I think what I'm going to go with is that tag match. Tag team title match.
Against the British Bulldogs and the Dream Team.
The Dream Team and British Bulldogs. I'm going to have to go. That was probably... I liked seeing Macho Man, so my heart wants to go with that, but is pure match-wise, the tag team match was a better match.
Okay, well, I agree with you. That match was phenomenal, and it was going to be my favorite match, too. But actually, I'm going to have to go with the main event. The Hogan-King Kong Bundy match lived up to the build-up, the personalness of it, and it was just an awesome... I thought it was an awesome match, and I love cage matches. So that, for me, just was epic, and... Until that match, I was also going to go with the tag team championship match, but for me, this just put the cherry on top for me for WrestleMania 2. Now, okay, so that is your favorite match. What was your worst match of WrestleMania 2?
I think this is a simple one. This is easy. It's the one that, well, I almost found offensive. And that is the match between the Hillbilly and Adonis.
Okay, so you're saying Adrian Adonis and Uncle Elmer.
Yes.
Okay,
that was my least favorite match.
For once, we're going to agree on this because that was also my least favorite match. I felt it was more meant for comedy than it was pure wrestling. And it was just one of those kind of... We've had a really good WrestleMania. We just kind of need to tone the crowd down before we move on to the end of the show. It just didn't feel as epic as some of these other matches, and it really didn't have two more familiar guys, legends of wrestling, kind of two kind of forgotten guys.
Yeah, there was a lot of legends in this WrestleMania. So, yeah, these two were forgotten in history, and quite frankly, I'm glad they were forgotten in history. I mean, the Adonis guy, he did sell moves pretty well, but it was a little uncomfortable to watch in 2020.
I gotcha. Okay, so now we're going to move on to our WrestleMania rankings. I know this is going to be short, and it's probably very, very predictable at this point, but this is something we would like to do at the end of every WrestleMania.
Well, every pay-per-view.
Are we going to rank pay-per-views?
No. I was thinking we would rank them
per the pay-per-view.
Per pay-per-view. So all WrestleManias will ranked. Survivor Series will be ranked separately.
Okay. I agree with that. So we're going to keep them categorized in the show that they are so we can just rank WrestleManias because it's kind of hard to compare the other pay-per-views because WrestleMania is usually just so much bigger and better and epic than the other three.
Plus,
other three are very fun.
Plus, if you prefer Survivor Series matches or Royal Rumble matches, that one's going to take your heart. It's better to compare them with their own
types. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's going to be fun, ranking Royal Rumbles.
Oh,
which
yes.
Which Royal Rumbles are going to be better than others, and that is fun. And then later on in WWF, when it becomes WWE, you get a lot of legends coming back and a lot of surprises.
Oh, yeah, a lot of surprise entrances.
So that's
going to
be really, really fun.
I don't know if there's going to be a lot of surprise entrances. Well, Andy Kaufman might show up in one of these.
I
can't remember when he wrestled, but he wrestled in the 80s.
I don't know if he's in any of the WrestleManias or not. I can't remember, but I know he had a short period where he kind of dealt with Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah, he would.
And I think that might have been before WrestleMania, even though.
I'll have to look that up, but yeah,
we'll have to fact check that.
He used to wrestle women and saying he was from Hollywood. He was very charismatic.
Yeah, because that was about the birth of Saturday Night Live, which was around 75, I believe.
You might be right.
So I think that was pre-WrestleMania when he got involved with wrestling.
Yeah, he might have died in 82. He died in the 80s.
So, yeah, I don't think we're going to get an Andy Kaufman zombie to join the Royal Rumble match. I don't think that's going to happen, Blaze. Once again, you're showing how idiotic you are. But hopefully that doesn't affect the listeners. Hopefully you guys still come back and listen to us. So before we wrap this up, we have a huge shout-out we'd like to give, and that is to Matt Russell. Matt, we greatly appreciate and was just honored and shocked to find out you have donated to the show. I hope we do you justice and we will help build the show with that money. First subscriber
of the Raging Blaze show.
Yeah, he's the first financial subscriber to the Rage and Blaze show, and we want to give you a huge shout out and a huge thank you. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Okay, so this is the end of our show. Please join us on the next episode when we rewatch WrestleMania 3 and we have our special guest Warren come onto the show to talk all things wrestling toys and what it's like to be a giant. So that should be fun. And then after that, we'll be moving on to 1987 Survivor Series. We'll start working on the other pay-per-views because we wanted to do WrestleManias up until those other pay-per-views became a thing, which is...
We wanted all the pay-per-views in order of when they were released, when they happened, and... WrestleMania was a thing for 3 years until we got Survivor Series. And then I believe after Survivor Series, we'll have
Royal Rumble in 88, but that was in January. So it feels like a different year. I mean, it's labeled as a different year, but it all kind of flowed. Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania 4, and then we'll get a SummerSlam after that,
after
I believe.
That, yeah, so we'll start rotating the pay-per-views after... this last WrestleMania.
So yeah, this should be really fun because we get to revisit some classic pay-per-views with some new concepts. The Survivor Series 4-on-4 match. We get to see the 30-man Royal Rumble, which I believe in 1988, the first Royal Rumble actually, I believe, only had 20 men. But we will...
I believe that's what it says, yeah.
We will be watching that. That should be fun. And then, of course, SummerSlam is kind of the summer version of WrestleMania. Not really any major themes, just kind of middle of summer and... They just put on a show that they try to, you know, match the excitement of WrestleMania for that time of the year. So this is going to be fun. I hope you all continue to listen. I want to give a huge thank you to anybody who's been listening, following. And remember, we have that Facebook page, The Rage and Blaze Show. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram now.
Correction from last episode. My Twitter is at Dragon Blazer Pro, not production. It ends at pro because I wasn't able to make that long of a Twitter.
Okay, and then my Twitter account is at Ricky Rayberg, and I did not change mine to anything crazy, but I will be advertising on there. And pretty soon, I believe we are in the works of trying to get on YouTube. So hopefully we can get on there soon.
I'm still learning all this.
So, yeah, this is new to us. We're still working on it. But we are hopefully going to be getting on YouTube soon, so keep an eye on that. Also, don't forget to listen to us and subscribe. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Overcast, and, of course, Anchor. So don't forget to listen to us on your favorite podcasting platform.
We're still trying to publish to other places, so we'll keep you informed when we become on
show up on different platforms.
So that's the end of this show. I want to thank you all for listening. And I am Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
See you next time.
Auf Wiedersehen.
And your winners, and still tag team champions of podcasts, The Rage
and Blaze Show.
Thank you for listening.
Good night.